At 11 p.m., according to the WMFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. At 11:02, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's still 2.5-ish of the silliest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. All the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double-dong daring you since 1990, even when the students are back. I have no shame, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Coming up in around about an hour and 20 minutes, we'll call it the midnight 20 hour. It will be time for the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks. So there. Yes, I'm in a little bit of a mood. I've got too much going on. Too busy. Too many competing priorities. Balls in the air, as one might say. It's a lot going on, and that is why you, the listener, have helped me, Belinda, tonight with a free association. Because I've been running around all day, this is how it works. I get too busy, I don't have time to think, so I let you do the thinking for me. Then I take a bunch of words that you gave me over at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group. I think of a song really fast, and here's the show we do. It's just that simple. So let's get it going right now at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Potato chips, how my mouth just drips. Potato chips, how my mouth just drips. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. Potato chips, how my mouth just drips. Potato chips, how my mouth just drips. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. No matter where it is, you'll always find a bag around. Be in a bar, a picnic, even a baseball ground. Potato chips, how my mouth does drip. Potato chips, oh, drip, drip, drip. Crunch, crunch, I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. Bang, bang, bang. Bag of potatoes. crunchy, crunchy potato chips. Crunch, crunchy, crunchy. A crunch, crunch, crunch. I don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips. Potato chips. How my mouth does drip. Potato chips. Crunchy, 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 crunchy. Don't bring me no lunch. All I want is potato chips. No matter where it is, you'll find a bag around. I could be even in a bar, a picnic, a baseball ground. It doesn't matter. Oh, those potato, potato chips. Potato, potato, a chippy chippo. Crunch, crunch, don't want no lunch. All I want is potato chips.
It was a beautiful day, it was a sellout crowd, and the air was filled with a mighty yell. Some was carrying pennants, some said heaven, and some said hell. And the referee stepped to the field, and he flipped a coin, and it revealed what every faithful Christian should believe. That Jesus was elected to receive. So let's get Jesus Christ the football, let him even up the score. Let him run it through the crossbars and beyond the cross no more. Let's get Jesus Christ the football, let him even up the score. Let him run it through the crossbars and beyond the cross no more. Well, Satan, he used an onside kick. Thank God that Matthew was thinking clear. He took that ball from Satan. It was Christian's first and ten. And with the strength that moved the rock, well, the Savior made him a mighty block. Found himself the way he'd been conceived. Free and clear, open to receive. So let's give Jesus Christ the football. Let him even let him run it through the crossbars and beyond the cross no more. Let's give Jesus Christ the football, let him even up the score. Let him run it through the crossbars and beyond the cross no more. Any man, he had to win that game for both his dad and all mankind. But Satan sent his finest men. He said, forget the rule book, just defend. It isn't how we play, we got to win. But JC left them standing in their sin. So let's give Jesus Christ the football, let him even up the score. Let him run it through the crossbars and beyond the cross no more. Let's give Jesus Christ the football, yes, and even up the score. Let him run it through the crossbars, half of which he's seen before.
Smokes in the kitchen, smokes in the hall. Hey, hey, baby, have a whiff on me. Rest, that is, I got money. Who wants food? Who wants bread when you can score? Hey, hey, baby, have a whiff on me. All right, let's see it. Woo!
Have a whiff, have a whiff, have a whiff on me. Everybody gonna have a whiff on me. Hey, hey, baby, have a whiff on me.
What are you saying?
I do. Hey, hey, baby, have a whiff on me. Well, don't know what's happened to the folks I know. Who wants friends when you can have snow? Hey, hey, baby, have a whiff on me. All right, let's hear it one more time.
Woo. Have a whiff on me. Everybody gonna have a whiff on me. Hey, hey, baby, have a whiff on me. Everybody gonna have a whiff on me. Hey, hey, baby, have a whiff on me.
Ricky Bates.
He always pal round with vipers till they brought him down to his diapers. Old Sam is beat down to his socks. Thank you. chicks. Old Sam just switches. He was a viper till he tore his britches. Played the numbers till his clothes was gone. Poor Sam's all ragged and torn. The chicks beat Sam down to the bricks.
Seventy years ago, long before the days of the wireless and the kinematograph entertainment, we young lads had to make our own amusements. Such games as stoning the lamplighter and tripping the muffin man provided harmless outlets for the release of our boyish energy. But the most popular of all our escapades was undoubtedly the one called, quite simply, setting fire to the policeman. Now, this risky operation was invariably carried out at night, since darkness made it less likely that we would be recognized, and at the same time lent dramatic emphasis to the spectacle of the flaming bobby. There were several alternative methods and variations used in perpetrating this jape, but I will confine myself to describing the standard procedure we usually employed. Three carefree young limbs would sally forth of an evening, each one knowing by heart what he had to do. One lad, selected for his fleetness of foot, would be wearing plimsolls. Another, chosen for his golden ringlets and generally angelic appearance, would be clad in a velvet suit. Whilst the third, the strong man of the party, would be carrying a packet of lucifers and an enormous bucket which was half filled with kerosene. The time of the rendezvous with the previously selected but unsuspecting constable, incidentally always a man noted for his good nature and kindness to children, it was planned to the split second. And it was so arranged that the encounter took place in the darkest portion of some ill-lit street. On arrival at the appointed place, the team would spring into action like clockwork. Pretending to blubber, you see, the velvet-clad cherub would approach the officer and murmur, rather inaudibly through his sobs, that he was lost. Whereupon the worthy custodian of the law would kneel or bend down in order to make out what the pathetic infant was saying. Now then, at this precise moment, the bearer of the kerosene-filled bucket would swiftly emerge from the shadows and empty the entire contents of his utensil over the peeler. Then, like lightning, a lucifer was produced, struck, run along the hem of the blue tunic, and hey presto, yet another policeman in a state of combustion. Well done, lads. However, there's no time to be lost in self-congratulation. The fire brigade must be summoned before the constable can sustain any serious burns. So off like the wind goes our young runner to the nearest fire station, his twinkling plimsolls barely touching the pavement as he speeds on his errand of mercy. Before long, the exciting sound of the horse-drawn fire appliance can be heard in the distance, growing louder every second. Now this sound, unfortunately, is something that is no longer to be heard nowadays. Pity. It's true the bell still rings, but where is the heavy rumble of the wheels, jingling of the harness, the crack of the whip, clatter of the hooves, the snorting and the panting of the horses? Oh, they were sounds to stir the blood. Gone, alas, forever. And gone with them, half the fun of the fire. But I digress. Our policeman is by now well and truly alight. See how he lights up the dingy street for yards around. Frantically, he blows his whistle and flails himself about the body with his truncheon in a vain attempt to put out the flames. A knot of eager spectators has now gathered, and many a coarse jibe and ribald comment will be made at the expense of the luckless limb of the law. Perhaps a wag in the crowd will cry out something like, "Policemen should keep cool at all times," or an elderly slattern reeking of intoxicants may be heard to shriek, "Smoking on duty, that's what he's a-doing. Ought to have the law on him, that's what." Each sally being greeted by a general burst of merriment from the assembled bystanders. The policeman's plight would seem to be desperate, but help is close at hand. The fire appliance draws up with great commotion, and the nimble firemen leap into action. There is no time to find a hydrant, and the hand pump is operated at once from the emergency barrel, which was always carried. Whilst his perspiring comrades pump valiantly, one brave fellow takes the hose and gets as near to the incandescent officer as the heat of the flames will allow. The flow of water is released, and the stream is directed point blank at the target. Much too soon, it's all over. There is nothing to look at save a charred and saturated object, scarcely recognizable as a human being, lying on the pavement. The sightseers, their holiday mood gone, begin to disperse in silence and go about their business. Sometimes, before they went, one of their number would make a collection on behalf of the gallant little lad who had the presence of mind to run to the fire station. On these days, it was three tired but very happy youngsters who trudged with their golden sovereigns and half-sovereigns, jingling in their pockets, very pleased with their evening's work, and, after all, who can blame them? All this, as I say, took place more than 70 years ago. But even today, whenever I see a policeman, I'm still gripped by an almost insane desire to set fire to him.
I touch your lips, that's when the trouble starts a-brewing. I can't resist the brand of tobacco you are chewing. And though my heart goes boom just like a blown-out tar, I'm just plumb crazy for your little kiss of bar. Just like a cane, you've got me roped and tied and branded. You'd make a fortune with your kisses if you can it. And though I know you're true to Lemon, Zeke, and Willie, I'm still plumb silly for your little kiss of bar. The flames are flying, I'm on the pan and frying. What good is there denying a sighing and a crying? The flame is spurting, my darling, I'm a hurting. If I'm a spurning, darling, bake me like a bun. Till I'm well done, till I'm well done, ooh, oh, Lord. Give me your lips and watch you sizzle like a cinder. Just one more kiss and I'll go flying out the window. You've got me on the griddle and I'll always be there. Guess what put me there, your little kiss afar. Pucker like a possum eating salmon. The way you kiss, you must have practice on some lemon. And when you kiss me, you set my mouth on fire. Dad, burn that cigar and your little kiss of fire.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And that was 30 minutes. Sure enough was. But there's so much silliness left to go in tonight's free association. You kids just gave me a ton to work with, more than I could ever get to, as usual. I try to not get everybody's hopes up when I can't get to everything, but, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to do the show as best I can, and hopefully you're going to enjoy it, you will find it silly, and we'll all have a good time. That's basically the goal here. Really not much else going on. Nothing much to speak of anyway. Well, except for the love. Don't forget about the love. I'm not forgetting about the love. But we got a whole nother big chunk of silliness in this free association before we get to the radio obituaries. We'll come back and talk to you in a little bit, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
When Mr. Satan knocks at my heart's door and says, "May I come in?" I say, "No, no, for Jesus loves me so and took away my sin." So he turns around and runs away. I wish he'd go away to stay. When hearts door, I just say no, no, no. No, 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 no.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the BITTT Sports Scoreboard with Jack Breen, the discreet sports show that calls him like I sees him without hurting anybody's feelings. Hold on to your apples, Mary. Here's what's happening today. In the world of baseball, we've got final scores of 4-5, 6-3, 3-2, and a couple of teams are all tied up at 4-4. Somebody got hurt in one of those games, but we'd rather not say who or which one. On the links today in Houston, one guy who did really good yesterday didn't today, as some other guy surged ahead to take the lead. Quiet on the gridiron again today as football players all over the country continue to wait for next year. Same thing in college basketball, but not as long. Too cold again for boats today, and the people who like hitting each other just kept on doing it until half of them fell down. And that's about it for the BITTT Sports Scoreboard. We'll see y'all at some kind of stadium or arena or something. But for now, here's Bubbles.
There are times I almost think I am not sure of what I absolutely know. Very often find confusion in conclusion I concluded long ago. In my head are many facts that as a student I have studied to procure. In my head are many facts of which I wish I was more certain. I was sure. Is a puzzlement what to tell a growing son? What, for instance, shall I say to him of women? Shall I educate him on the ancient lines? Shall I tell the boy as far as he is able to respect his wives and love his concubines? Shall I tell him everyone is like the other, and the better one of two is really neither? If I tell him this, I think he won't believe it, and I nearly think I don't believe it either. Shall I join with other nations in alliance? If allies are weak, am I not best alone? If allies are strong with power to protect me, might they not protect me out of all I own? There's a danger to be trusting one another. One will seldom want to do what other wishes. But unless someday somebody trusts somebody, there'll be nothing left on earth excepting fishes. There are times I almost think nobody's sure of what he absolutely knows. Everybody find confusion in conclusion he concluded long ago. And it puzzled me to learn that though a man may be in doubt of what he knows, very quickly will he fight, he'll fight to prove that what he does not know is so. Oh, sometimes I think that people going mad. Oh, sometimes I think that people not so bad. But no matter what I think, I must go on living life. As leader of my kingdom, I must go forth. Be father to my children and husband to each wife, etc., etc., and so forth. If my Lord in heaven, Buddha, show the way, every day I try to live another day. If my Lord in heaven, Buddha, show the way, every day I do my best for one more day. But is a puzzlement.
Thank you. get somebody to give you a banjo hand job. Guitar's the thing, but a banjo's got more G-strings. You haven't lived until you've had a banjo hand job. Get somebody willing to give you a banjo hand job. Like it or not, banjo players find a G-spot. Song needs another verse, but I'm not sure it deserves it. I'm at a loss for words when it comes to a banjo, 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 banjo.
In Finland, as in many Nordic countries, there was a tradition that every couple of years a new pickle was declared emperor. It was a lottery system, and whichever pickle bought the 10,000th can of tuna of the year became the new emperor of all the Finnish kingdoms. This is the story of one particular pickle emperor who had a short but productive reign. It was in the year of the yak by the Finnish calendar when Periwinkle the Pickle Prince was declared emperor. While he was being dressed in robes for his coronation and anointment, a bird alighted upon his left shoulder, which is considered a very good omen. And Periwinkle the Pickle Prince declared a national day of birdwatching for the entire empire of Finnish kingdoms. He led the watch with his special binoculars that were given as a gift by the Duchess of Lake Bottom. And he rode out on the finest horse in the kingdom, followed by the royal family and all the government bigwigs, and the military and the landed gentry. And they went to watch birds in the nearby forest, around the lake at the base of the hill near the emperor's palace. The first few birds they saw were spectacular, as all the birds allowed near the palace are, but the fifth bird was really something special. It was an ostrich with peacock feathers and a dog's snout in place of a beak. Periwinkle the Pickle Prince took this bird as a pet and confidant and named him Isabella, and they commanded the empire together, bringing truth and justice to all that we have. Among his great deeds was the construction of a temple to all the Finnish gods and an appropriations bill that gave trillions to the school systems, and the appointment of many qualified individuals to the judiciary, and the construction of an aqueduct system that brought wine to all the neighboring countries, which was a great source of revenue and helped to fund the schools and the temples and everything else. And this was all going fine until the Queen of Sweden declared a trade war and built a giant dam to keep the Finnish wine out. This was bad for everyone, as Sweden now had no wine, and Finland suddenly had a huge budget deficit due to the reduction in funds from the wine exports. So of course it was war. The war to end all wars, because Spain and the Philippines were allies and sent troops to both sides each, as they were friendly with both. Periwinkle the Pickle Prince rode out on Isabella commanding his army, and the Queen of Sweden went forth on her favorite bird, a parakeet named Larry, leading her army. And there was much fighting and ingenious displays of strategy on both sides, and it lasted for years. And the army of the Bothnia was advancing along the Tornio, and both sides brought all of their forces together for one great battle, and lined themselves up head to head, awaiting the bugle call that would ring in the greatest battle in the history of Northern Europe. And both sides stood there waiting and armed, the tension mounting. Until one of Periwinkle's judicial appointees came running with the announcement that she had come upon an old constitutional document declaring that Pickles had no power over the military, and in fact couldn't be emperors at all. They were just figureheads, if anything, and really more of a culinary delicacy with few leadership qualities. And everybody went home, and Finland became a parliamentary republic within the framework of a representative democracy, and Periwinkle the Pickle Prince is remembered to this day for his wisdom in judicial appointments. And the anniversaries of his battles are celebrated annually with pickle festivals and parades, and statues of him are found in every town in Finland. And Isabella the ostrich went to the National Hairdressing School, where he can be seen to this day, taxidermied and stuffed, and the object of great pride for all the alumni who gather to shower him with brine at the annual homecoming.
Look a year, her mama, what you gonna say?
Oh, well, I gotta get up and go to work today.
Oh, well, I'll go down and put the coffee on.
Oh, well, hurry up, Papa, cause I should have been gone.
So, mama, put your britches on. Mama, put your britches on. You got a key job for defense. Mama, put your britches on. Friday, take along a big lunch, too. Take along a big lunch, too. That diet now just don't make sense. You've got heavy work to do. Riches may vex too tight and may not look as fine. No time for sex ain't right on that assembly line. But da-da-da-da, put away the fancy hose and your dainty these and those. What you need now is victory clothes. Mama, put your britches on. Oh, yeah, but yeah, better ride down. Oh, put the bridges on. Oh, yeah, but yeah, better ride down. Oh, her mama put them on. Mama put him on. Mama put your britches on. Mama put your britches on. You got a key job for defense. So mama put your britches on. Take along a big lunch too.
take along a big lunch too.
Baby, that diet now just don't make sense. You've got heavy work to do.
Breeches may vex too tight and may not look as fine. No time for sex ain't right on that assembly line.
Put away your fancy hose and your dainty these and those.
What you need now is victory clothes. Oh, mama. Oh, mama. Mama, put your britches on.
Come on, mama. Let's go to work.
I think music's one of the best things for kids. Somehow it exercises a part of the brain that only music can exercise. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't understand exactly what it is, and I have trouble articulating it. But somehow music affects all areas of your life. Even if you don't become a professional musician, being in a music class or having some contact with music definitely helps you with your confidence. It helps you figure out situations. And it just seems to overall enhance your life and your creativity. So I highly recommend any child taking a music class. And I hope at some point it becomes mandatory for everybody, because just like sports helps your body, music really helps your mind and your soul.
A PSA brought to you by the National Association for Music Education.
You're a darling, you're an angel, and I love ya. But you always get me steamed somehow. You just gotta stop before I blow my top.
One of these days, one of these days, pow!
On our honeymoon, I took you to Niagara, and it ended in a great big row. Oh, you did me wrong. You brought your ma along.
One of these days, one of these days, pow!
When my shirts need a button, where are you? When my socks get holy, what do? When I come home hungry and upset, a cold dinner and an argument is all I ever get. Though you tell me that you positively love me, maybe I don't understand somehow. Though I'm 6 foot tall, you make me feel so small.
One of these days, one of these days, pow!
When my shirts need a button, where are you? When my socks get holy, what do? When I come home hungry and upset, a cold dinner and an argument is all I ever get. Though you tell me that you positively love me, maybe I don't understand somehow. Though I'm 6 foot tall, you make me feel so small.
One of these days, one of these days, pow right in the kisser. One of these days, one of these days, pow!
Ralph.
Baby, you're the greatest.
Bang, pow!
Sports Box, taking time out for a little bit of color at the game as we chat with a gentleman whose work has been observed probably by anyone who's ever visited a football game or taken one in. You are...
Arthur Baffinetti.
Mr. Baffinetti, I understand you've got a few minutes respite here now that it's halftime.
That's right.
Would you explain just what it is you do?
Well, I own a string of dogs, Biff, and I'm hired by... the sponsors of broadcasts of football games to bring out two or three dogs to a certain game, and I run them out on the field at given signals to hold up the activity down there till they get some commercials in.
In other words, the length of time the dog is on the field, the timeout, you can throw in, or they can throw in, more commercials.
Well, in this day now, if your T formation and all, not too many times out are called. And, of course, that doesn't help the sponsor. So if we don't have any timeout called on the field by either the referee or the two teams, then I let go one of my mangy curs.
I was going to ask you if you have any particular type of dog.
He's been trained. He's hard to grab. You can't fool him by running over and saying, sit, boy, and
he
pick him up.
He can dodge pretty well.
He knows broken field running. That's right. He stays within the 240-yard lines and so that the cameras or the announcer is going to see him and describe him.
Well, now, do you ever use them during halftime like this
no.
to break up? You keep them strictly in
strictly
tow?
Strictly for the game.
For the game part.
I have some 20 dogs, and, of course, they're used every week from coast to coast.
Well, you certainly have built up an enviable business here, and I think one that, from my point of view, of course, is a very practical one.
Well, thank you very much, Beth.
We squeeze those commercials in, and you do give us a great deal more.
Well, I got to get along down to them now.
Thanks very much, Mr. Baffinetti.
It's a very interesting game.
We'll be back to the game in a little while.
I was at the movies looking at the show, and there was a boy sitting in the same row. The actors were talking, but I couldn't hear a word. The only thing I heard, he was eating, he was eating the noisiest potato chips in this whole wide world. He was eating,
yeah,
he was eating the noisiest potato chips in this whole wide world. I went to the library and I read a book. I heard a crunchy sound, and when I took a look, there was the same boy sitting by my side. Him and his dreamy eyes.
Yeah.
He was eating the noisiest potato chips in this whole wide world. He was eating.
Yeah.
He was eating the noisiest potato chips in this whole wide world. Steps of the library, and suddenly this nice boy says to me, I'll give you some potato chips too, if you let me walk with you. We were eating,
yeah,
we were eating the noisiest potato chips in this whole wide world.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And we've got a few more pieces of silliness to play for you tonight in this free association before we get around to the radio obituaries, which will also be jam-packed. I'm just going to warn you right now. Right now. Jam-packed. But what around Bubbles in the Think Tank isn't jam-packed? That's what I'd like to know. You tell me, please. Please. So we'll be back in a few with the radio obituaries. Hope you continue to enjoy this free association right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Well, on the sandstone floor, on the catch it number four, more, 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 on the caveman's court, the yelling, aga, aga, boo, aga, boo, boo, aga, 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 boo, aga, boo, boo, aga. That means we're rocking at the caveman, huh? Well, all the cats are decked out in leopard skin coats, all the gals are wearing skin from goats, yelling, aga, aga, boo, aga, boo, boo, aga,
aga, aga, boo, aga, boo, boo, aga.
That means we're rocking at the caveman, huh?